I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi in red. Talking the rapids and turning heads. With questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home. Thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Colorado Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Monday, September 30th, 2024. Happy International Podcast Day, and rest in peace to Pete Ross and Dikembe Mutombo. Colorado Rapids outfielder Chuck Nasty, Charlie Blackman, has retired after 14 seasons with the Rocks. Northern Colorado Hailstorm FC have won their first silverware after they defeated Forward Madison in penalties in the 2024 USL Jägermeister Cup Final. And your Colorado Rapids went on the road to the Midwest and lost again. Very demure, to say the least. Joining me now, my favorite professional Jew, Shana Tova Umtuka, Rabbi Mark Goodman.
Wow, Matt, your Hebrew is fantastic. Well done. It's good to see you. It's great to see you back for a second week in a row. Matt is wearing another fantastic kit that he acquired in Tanzania. This one is Simba Sports Club. Matt, tell us a little bit about Simba. Simba Mabufasuwe.
Yes, Simba Sporting Club are one of the two big giants that you have in the Tanzanian Premier League. They play in Dar es Salaam, the largest city in Tanzania. It's not the capital. Dodoma is the administrative capital, but the big
Dar
city...
Dar es Salaam translates from the Arabic as House of Peace? Is that
it
right?
It does? I did not know that.
So the cool thing about Hebrew, being fluent in Hebrew, is we can steal a bit of Arabic. So like the numbers are similar to 10. And salam is the same as shalom. And dar, I mean, I'm going to look this up. Dar means in Hebrew and in Aramaic, it means to live in or dwelling place. So Dar es Salaam, I would assume, means house of peace.
You are probably correct. Swahili, like several other languages in the southeastern part of Africa, has its roots in Arabic. There were plenty of times in which during my trip to Tanzania in which I could hear the Arabic roots in Swahili, certainly. So you're probably right. House of Peace, Abode of Peace, maybe, is probably what it stands for. In any case, Mark, Simba is one of the two big clubs that you have pretty much every single... the Tanzanian Premier League is very similar to the Scottish Premiership, where it's basically two clubs that win everything, that basically go back and forth with each other, and then everybody else is kind of competitive in the cup competitions. But the two are by far the two best that you have. So Simba is one of them, and then Young Africa, or Young Africans, and they have a weird nickname, Mark. There's some Swahili word of play that I don't understand, nor that I can't remember, have that as well. So go ahead, Rabbi.
Wikipedia says I'm right. So,
all right, let's go.
But by the way, it was only renamed Dar es Salaam in 1870. Before that, the town was called Mzizima. So, anyway,
what does Mzizima mean?
Mzizima is the Swahili word for healthy town.
Okay, so we've got
fun facts.
Okay,
fun facts with Mark and Matt, Rabbi and Red. Fun facts. That's not going to be the theme song. I hope not.
No, we love our music from Wanners. Thank you very much. So in any case, they're one of the big clubs. They have a big lion that's roaring on their crest. Club was founded prior to the Lion King. So if anything, the Lion King ripped off Simba and Simba Sporting Club, or just the looked for the Swahili word for lion in naming one of their main title characters. And so their colors are red and white, and all of their kits are fire, Mark. So I'm wearing I've got an Antwerp look. Mark, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. If this is what Arsenal rolled out as a new primary kit, would you not love it?
Straight red? Yeah, that'd be really good. It's red with white trim on the sleeves and on the neck. I think the
more Liverpool then.
Well, no, I think there's a very subtle kind of like arty pattern. It's kind of like I'm trying to think like a Miro painting in the background, or maybe something even more like Art Deco style. It's a very cool thing. Matt'll post a picture of it at some point.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's great. I think the only challenge for Arsenal is like they like their kind of like, I forget what they call it, like a call, like they like a collar that's like a what is it, a folded collar, a dress collar,
one you can actually pop. So
yeah, a poppable poppable collar. I don't really know how to say that instead of okay. A ringer. But anyway, that's common, although they haven't always done that. And if they don't do that, it's more of a V-neck, and this is a little bit of a wrap. But anyways, I like it. I think it's a yes. great kit. It's an absolutely great kit. And it's not, I was assuming African teams were going to be like Mexican League teams, where every available piece of fabric was going to be used for a different sponsor. There's actually a nice sponsor to kit ratio there.
Yeah, it's a little busy Mexican on the leagues, back as well, Mark, the yeah. lower level. Oh, but yeah, so
the Mexican
Simba,
leagues do it really ridiculously. Like, you can't find the player's name between the seven other sponsors on the back of the kit, and sometimes the numbers have sponsors in them. It's ridiculous.
And especially, Mark, when I was watching whichever club Tecatito Corona was at, it just got even more confusing, because I feel like every single club that he was at was also sponsored by Corona. So you'd see Corona, his number, and then Corona, and I just get more confused. But so Simba wears red and white. Young African are blue and green, Mark. If we're going for the club that's in Mwanza, their name is Pamba FC or Pamba SC, I'm not sure. And that directly translates to cotton because of the agricultural work, the agricultural roots that come from Mwanza originally. And their nickname is Wana Tipilitanda, which directly translates to team that plays beautiful football. Hopefully the Colorado Rapids this week against LA Galaxy and Seattle Sounders are capable of not only getting points, but are capable of returning to their trend of being Wana Tipilitanda at home, certainly. So I'll post pictures of that. Listeners, you now have your new favorite Tanzanian Premier League team. The reason why I chose Simba as opposed to the local team local to the area that I was working in, our head lead for the NGO was a Simba supporter and was telling me about them, and a couple of the kids were rocking kits as well as the assistant head teacher, rough crudely the assistant principal, who's going to be one of our main points of contact for the project. So I show up in a foreign country, Mark, and I meet a bunch of guys who all support the exact same team. I feel like that has to become my club when it comes to the Tanzanian Premier League. Mark, I don't like bragging about myself on this podcast, but I've been getting a lot of kudos the last couple of weeks. And while it has started to decrease in terms of the number of people congratulating me on my nonprofit work on the African continent, I have won the Fabian Ravello MLS Community Award for the 2024 MLS Western Conference Beat Writer of the Year. And so I promptly got a bunch of other support as well, Mark, when Rapids fans and other people who know me, who've been in my professional network, were pushing for people to vote on this 24-hour, very official, very important Twitter poll that Fabi was setting up. Fabian Ravello, formerly of... what is it? I can't remember, Mark. He's at, he just took a job at Sports Illustrated. He was at Soccer by Ives before that. And then he also did some comm stuff for Leagues Cup as well this year. In any case, he sets up very organic, very grassroots awards for this. And he takes random nominations from Twitter. And then he puts out a Twitter poll that's 24 hours. And whoever gets the votes ends up getting it. So this is very informal, Mark. This is very unofficial. Like, I should not be bragging about a Twitter poll that only had like 300-400 people vote on it, but I was competing with somebody from Cascadia. I was competing with somebody from St. Louis. Normally, these awards notoriously are popularity contests, and so the fact that somebody from a small market who's been doing this for a long time finally got some cred, albeit maybe with some bot farming from certain highliners, I am humbled, I'm honored, and I'm grateful that so many people see the value in the work that I've done on this podcast, in my writing for the various outlets that I've been on as well. And Mark, I can officially say that now I've now won an MLS Media Award, given that MLSsoccer.com and the other major outlets don't do this anymore because they've decoupled themselves from the grassroots and everything and gone corporate with Apple TV. But that is a thesis wow. statement for a banter topic for another time. Mark, your thoughts, and do you just want to say more nice things about me to give me dopamine?
I love it. It's when you started off, you kind of like started patting yourself on the back, and I think in a normal world, this would be an opportunity to make brutally fun of you for how great you say you are. But to be fair, folks, Matt really is that great. I mean, he went all the way to Africa to take care of other people because he's a good person, and then If you've ever followed the work that he's been doing for Burgundy Wave since it was jettisoned from the SB Nation lineup, along with every other soccer website that they had, because SB Nation is garbage and we don't like them. Matt has been doing a lot of work. It's mostly vaguely, barely compensated. He does it because he believes that the Colorado Rapids deserve regular local coverage other than the Denver Post, which can only provide so much coverage, and that a community supported website will do the work. So I've been in awe of Matt ever since he took over Burgundy Wave. He does a really great job. He's a great writer. He's a great features writer. He's a very tenacious news reporter. And, you know, honestly, Matt, like, it's, you kind of like, you gave yourself like your own backhanded tongue-in-cheek compliment by like being like, it's some dumb internet award, whatever. Matt, you deserve a legit award from the universe. When you won this, I thought it was, I did not know that it was kind of like a shady fly-by-night organization. By the way, it reminds me of the only award I've ever won as a professional in the last 25 years, which was when I was a ski instructor, which goes back a long way because all of you know me as a rabbi. Before I was a rabbi, I was a ski instructor for a year. I was a ski instructor at Taos, New Mexico. And
was this also when you worked at the Mexican restaurant, the Diner Mart?
I did. That's right. Oh, that's correct. Yes. No, not Mexican. I worked at a Chinese restaurant.
Chinese restaurant. Oh, yeah. So much dad lore.
Good memory. Anyways, so I got the boss turned to me after a couple months and was like, you know, you really need to work on this, this, and this, and I don't know about you, and da da da, and like we need to see some improvement. And I got this kind of like really like not fun talking to about like, you know, where my career was going, where my trajectory was going. The next week, I got an email. This was in the early days of email. This was in 1999, and I got this email from someone saying, "Hey, I'm a writer. My parents took a private lesson with you last week, and they really enjoyed it. And I'm just going to let you know you're going to be getting a mention in an article." And I was like, "Oh, that's so cool." And the next day, I got an email from this website, which was called On the Snow, On the Mountain. It was in Web 1.0. It was like the only skiing website. It did all the it was the first ski website, I think, that did nationwide ski reports, you know, like how many inches of snow fell last night. That was the website you used to go to. I think it was called On the Snow. And they did a feature article on the best ski instructors in each region. And I was named the best ski instructor in the West region, or the Rocky Mountain region, for that week. And it was like the week after my boss had given me a hard time. And the next week he came up to me and said, he was German. He said, congratulations on your award. You know, it was like, it was great. It was just fantastic. So, take your awards, Matt. Enjoy them.
No, I'm grateful for it. I guess I care less, Mark, about actually winning the award than the fact that like so many people, the nominating process and then the actual final vote and then the results of that was just an opportunity for people to amplify compliments of me or praising or just showing gratitude either directly to me or quote tweeting and then tagging me in stuff as well. And so just to, you know, I mean, to your point, Mark, a lot of this is thankless. A lot of this is a passion project. We do not make a lot of money here at Holding the High Line. Most of the money that we do get, we pour directly into the merch because we think that the merch is fun. But like, I will remember the occasional random tweet, usually happens after a really tough loss at the end of the season and some fan being grateful. I remember a really good one that I have bookmarked from Logan F from a few years ago as well, that like is this is why I do this. This is my ikigai. This is something that brings me joy in moments where it is tough, or I have to sit there and try and come up with a nuanced question to make sense, to find the soul of a game that was not fun. And I know the coaching staff, you know, the coach of the Rapids or some of the players are going to be a little punchy or not necessarily going to be as open because of how the season's going or because of how the game is going. Like, this is a reminder of that. And so normally I get that a little bit periodically. Sometimes we get it, Mark, when we're pushing subscriptions to get people to give us money as well. Occasionally we get it when I meet somebody at the tailgate, usually for the first time. So to get all of that in a 2 to 3 day period, to that culminate in me actually winning this popularity contest and to come on the back of nothing but getting pats on the back and congratulations and people asking me really intuitive, curious questions about why I missed work for 2 weeks or why I missed 3 Rapids games in a row was just, it was a compounding of the dopamine. So the Rapids are feeling very demure and very sad and are being sad boys right now, listeners, but I am feeling absolutely great. I feel like I could go out there in the non-existent Rapids Media Cup tomorrow and absolutely play with enthusiasm and very much be Juana Tipilitanda. So thank you for everyone who voted. But more importantly, thank you to all the people in the Rapids community who see value in the work that people like me, like Mark, like Braden Nurse for the Denver Post, like DNVR do as well. And when you have the opportunity to voice that, like saying nice things to people rather than just thinking them is a net positive for the world. And if we're thinking something positive about someone and if we were to share that compliment and do that in a public way, then I think the internet would be a better place and the world would be more like Ted Lasso. And that would make the world very much better. Anything else that we want to say bragging about me, Mark, or shall we light this proverbial candle that was a bonfire in Minnesota?
You're also devilishly handsome, but we already knew that.
The hair's finally growing back. I should post a picture, listeners.
You look like Connor Ronan right now. You look like Connor Ronan with glasses is where you're at right now. We got to get you back to the Ollie LaRaz phase because I think LaRaz has it going on.
Yeah, Ollie's got the flow going in ways that Connor does. But so for those of you who haven't seen me recently, because I haven't had a Rapids game to go to or haven't seen the photos that I've been posting or anything, it just looks like it's been a week or two since I got a buzz cut. So I do not look like bald Matt Pollard anymore. So the ginger is coming back, certainly. And I think the flow to where I'll start to need some product again, Mark, and look like my usual debonair, devilishly handsome, bespoke self, that'll hopefully be in place come the playoffs, because I'm going to need it looking from a drip standpoint, and clearly the Rapids are going to need it, because it hasn't been super great since I shaved my head. Listeners, this past Saturday at Allianz Arena, right next to their cool new statue called The Calling, of a giant loon statue that would totally get beaten up in a bar fight by Blucifer, Minnesota United absolutely drubbed the Colorado Rapids. The final score was 3-0. This game was basically a repeat emotionally and from a PTSD standpoint, as the loss to Sporting Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. Maybe the one noteworthy thing that we saw from a roster position standpoint, Mark, we already knew that Cole Bassett was going to be out for this game. He was listed as out with a quad injury. Braden Nurse for the Denver Post is reporting that's not believed to be something long-term. I had reported previously that Sam Bynes had practiced fully in training. He was listed as out due to that hamstring injury that he's been dealing with going back to Leagues Cup. That's believed to be precautionary. I would not be shocked, Mark, if both of them are available for selection at some point this week. In any case, it was Reggie Cannon slightly out of position at the left back position, and Captain Keegan Rosenberry returned to his position at right back. And Mark, it was not a good start, not a good end for the Colorado Rapids. Fantastic saves from Zach Steffen in the opening 15 minutes, and kind of unlucky, or it was deserved, Mark, in that Minnesota had been the better team. But the opening goal was maybe the one that I'm least mad about from a film review Monday morning center back standpoint. 16th minute, Yeboah, the striker, filling in for Timo Pukki, gets kind of a lucky bounce. There's a cross that comes in from Keegan's side of the box, and a player decides to volley it down, and Yeboah is in position and somehow onside, and it like goes inadvertently off of his head. Zach Steffen's already reacting to the original shot, so he's diving the other way, and it ends up bouncing in. Bit of a lucky situation. Maybe if I were to critique it, Mark, you have a little bit of a gap control, maybe a communication issue between that being the Reggie Cannon position, playing left back for the first time, I believe, and then Andreas Maxou. So maybe a language barrier, maybe a familiarity issue in terms of who's going to the ball, who's staying and marking the main striker. I'm not sure. Ask Reggie Cannon. In any case, it was onside. Two kind of okay chances, Mark. The Colorado Rapids had a total of, I have this written down somewhere, they were outshot on the night 16-4, and shots on goal were 10-1. The two good positions, or the two good opportunities you had, both came from Georgi Mihailovic, kind of half chances, 25th minute from him, and then he had a chip in the 68th minute that for me was probably the best chance of the game for the Rapids to try and get a goal. 2 minutes into the second half, Yeboah makes it a brace off of a throw-in, really poor gap control, and just kind of mentally being switched on to start the half in terms of understanding the situation and sensing the danger. Excuse me. And then in the 82nd minute, garbage time, effectively, Hassani Dotson cuts inside off of a similar situation, albeit from the opposite side of the field, and goes it alone against the defense. And at that point, Mark, that had to be a lack of concentration, fatigue situation of just the center backs not stepping to the ball. Good on Hassani Dotson for creating the angle, creating the little lane for him to shoot at, and beating Zach Steffen to the back post. Mark, we'll go with Rabbi's choice on this one. Big thing, bad thing, or good thing? Or do we just want to completely replay everything that we said last week about the SKC loss?
I think it was a little bit different a game. I'm probably not. I don't know if there was any good thing. I mean, this was a
Zach
total
Steffen was okay.
I didn't think he was great. I didn't think he was great. Like, there was a moment where Mark Rogodino was like, the commentator was like, and he saves another one. It was like 15 minutes in, and he spilled it. I think on the second goal, he doesn't move at all, and I think that there's a chance that he could have made a play at that one. The first goal, there's nothing he could do. Kelvin Yeboah redirects it with his head in a way that I think even surprised Kelvin Yeboah. He didn't look like he was completely ready for that ball to hit him, and that's why it ended up. But that being said, let me go back to, like, I don't know. I don't know that I have a kind of a good thing, bad thing, big thing kind of, like, look at this game. Rosales, the left back for Minnesota, was really, really good. And he played really high. And it felt to me like Chris Armas was not ready for the way that they played. The Rapids played in a mid-block. Rosales was able to get forward as much as he possibly could. And for the first 30 minutes of the game, the Rapids just did not have Egan Rosenberry step out against him. They just kind of let him have the space, and then Rosenberry reacted slowly. So this is Joseph Rosales. He's 23 years old. I wasn't familiar with this guy until this game, because who is paying attention to left backs from Midland teams in the Western Conference who we haven't played that much this year? So that really, I think, was a major problem for the Rapids that Minnesota created with and had basically an unmarked guy in the entire first half. It shifted the Rapids a little bit, and then they really never refound their focus. The other thing was this new guy, Kelvin Yeboah, who I'd also never heard of until this game, because he was acquired at the end of July in a transfer from, where did he come from? So Standard Liège, I forget. Standard Liège, Montpellier before then, Augsburg and Genoa. He's an Italian player originally from Ghana. And he was fantastic. He just created problems for the Rapids all night long. I didn't hang this loss so much on the back line. They didn't know a whole lot about it. Although, to be honest, I wasn't impressed with Max O's play in this game. I didn't think Rosenberry had a very good game. Reggie Cannon was way upfield and being offensive in the first half, and he was kind of like so far away that he wasn't particularly connected to the rest of the offense. And I think that I've said this before, but it's been a while, but because he hasn't played much, but I thought this was a shockingly bad game from Omir Fernandez. I know he took a knock in the head in the seventh minute, and that might have had an effect on why he didn't play well the rest of the game. But my goodness, all of his first touches were really rough, and his instincts with the ball were either to play it into space where nobody was going to be and nobody was, or to kind of dribble backwards diagonally, recycle the ball, and take the team completely out of it. You know, the Rapids have been playing most of the year with this kind of forward moving urgency, and that included the final third, right? You get into the final third, and then they would make two final passes that were forward looking and into dangerous areas. And that did not happen at all in the first 65 minutes of this game. The Rapids just, they moved the ball into the final third, and then it just got kind of choked off or recycled. They also had a really hard time just moving the ball forward in the first 25 minutes at all. They basically looked totally toothless. And by that time, they were already down 1-0. And then 2 minutes into the second half, they were down 2-0. The last thing I'll say, since I've said a lot of things, is we can excuse this entire game as it's hard to play away at the Allianz. I really thought you could tell that the crowd really brought the thunder and brought the noise. I think Minnesota is a very difficult place to play away. I think Minnesota historically has been a very good team at home and pretty mediocre on the road ever since their first couple of years in the league. I think the biggest challenge for Minnesota in order to win the league is just becoming a good road team. But I do think that they made that addition at the end of the window that shows that they are a very dangerous team going into the playoffs. And here's my last thing. It's probably the most important thing, but it's the one sentence to kill it. And then I'll turn it over to you, Matt, and you can take whatever you want. Boy, the Rapids absolutely missed Cole Bassett in this game. I mean, Cole, like, they looked static. They looked, they didn't drop back for the ball. There wasn't anybody kind of stirring the pot in the middle and forcing players to react and forcing players to move and shift. And so it basically meant that Minnesota had our number and we lost.
So I was, while you were talking there, Mark, I looked up the XG stats just to compare it. MLSsoccer.com has it at 1.8 for Minnesota and 0.05 for Colorado. FotMob, which I tend to trust a little bit more, has it at 1.21 for Minnesota and 0.43 for Colorado. So clearly, in any case, from an XG standpoint, Minnesota was the better team. They should have won this game 1-0, 2-0 at some point. So to maybe to agree with you then, Mark, I think Zach Steffen had a good start to the game, or Zach Steffen making a bunch of saves in the opening 15 minutes delayed what was inevitable. When we look back at the XG, we're just judging that. Steffen should have given up probably one goal or at worst two, and he ended up giving three. And to your point, however, Mark, I don't blame him. Steffen is not at fault for me, certainly on the first goal. I think the third one, it would be hard to blame him. And if we were to bring back, Mark, a HTHL season one segment of the Lal Sabubakar blame pie, I don't know that Zach Steffen is getting the biggest slice of blame pie on any one of these goals conceded. But to your point, this just, it's another game where it's a worrying trend for me of the team not being prepared for a road game and just not being competitive. They weren't sharp enough with the ball, and what the opponent was doing was not particularly complex, nor should it be surprising at this point. I mean, Mark, how many MLS teams that we've seen, heck, how many of the Mexican teams that we saw, their plan was to get it out of the midfield once they won the ball, go out wide, attack one of the Rapids fullbacks, usually Keegan Rosenberry. It was Sam Vines more for the Mexican teams, but I feel like it was more Keegan than it was Reggie Cannon in this particular game, and then cut it back into the middle of the box where there are gap control issues or where there's just an issue of that center box that I mentioned on last pod, where it's the two DMs, in this case without Cole Bassett, two proper number eights in the double pivot with Ollie LaRoz and Connor Ronan, and then the two center backs, Lal Sabubakar and Andreas Maxu. And so it's the fact that it's becoming more predictable how teams attack the Rapids, and in particularly when the Rapids are on the road and the opponent gets a big blowout win against the Rapids, it's predictable how they go about breaking down the Rapids to score all of those goals. Shows to me that there's a clear, not an Achilles heel, but just there's an obvious way to go about attacking them. And so there's an opportunity now with three games left to go in the regular season for the Rapids to maybe tinker with a little bit of that, or at the very least be a little bit more prepared for that. You know, like how you said, Mark, the team, they were not prepared. They weren't switched on for that second goal 2 minutes into the half. And it wasn't game over, but at that point it was going to be really, really tough. So for as bad as they were in the first half, and as much as Minnesota was on top of them and they were missing chances and the Rapids weren't creating anything and Steffen was having to make a bunch of big saves, it was another game where the Rapids were outplayed in the first half, but they were only down 1-0. And how many of those other games, Mark, have we seen Chris Armas come in, you know, rile up the boys and everything. They make one or two changes. They make a sub in the 60th minute and they make something of the game in the final 15, final 20. And we didn't see that tonight, or we didn't see that on Saturday. And I would be less concerned about it if that wasn't also followed up by a loss to Sporting Kansas City, where we just saw so many of the similar things. Mark, you didn't compare it to the Sporting Kansas City game, but Keegan Rosenberry, head coach Chris Armas mentioned this in his opening statement, quote, a little bit similar to this Kansas City game, didn't get it right on the night. A lot of things fell short in the way we set up. The way we got pressure on the ball and made them uncomfortable in the first half wasn't quite there. and we thought we would set up better in the second half, similar to the way we did after Kansas City. Now, to get to the next game quick, two really important home matches. We're excited to respond in the right way, like we usually do. No disrespect to Chris Armas's response. I agree with everything that he just said there, Mark. But Rabbi, if we were to plug in Chris Armas' opening statements into AI and have ChatGPT, you know, react to how he would have reacted on Minnesota, I could have told you what that quote would have been. So the fact that Chris Armas brings it up, Mark, and brings up so many of the things that are important to the Rapids principles, and it wasn't there at all. And the fact that he references the KC game, for me, if Chris is connecting the dots in his opening statement unprompted, then that's enough for me to say that there's some there. And so that brings me to maybe a little concern that I have here, Mark. Or did you have a response to that at all, Rabbi?
I think that the focusing on the XG was a good point. I think your observation brought from Chris Armas that these games were very similar is an interesting take. I didn't exactly see it that way, but maybe it was. I don't know. I mean, they were kind of sloppy with the ball, and I think that they just looked clunky. There was I am resistant to. I thought the SKC game was kind of like just a clunker. Like you're going to drop a clunker every once in a while. Mm-hmm.
It's the part that has me not hitting the panic button, Mark, but then acknowledging that there's something that needs to be addressed here is the fact it was two clunkers in two road games in a row. Okay. We've seen it in the past, and it was to two. It was to a bad team, SKC, who's been eliminated from the playoffs, and a mid team to Minnesota. You play like that against LAFC, you're going to lose 5-6-0.
You're kind of saying two things, and I think I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to figure out whether to panic or not, and I want to not panic, but I feel deep in the seat of my soul a little bit of panic, like something's. Something's off. Now, that being said, remember, we just came through a Leagues Cup where the Colorado Rapids were a totally dominant team, mm-hmm. and they were very good, and then they upset several Mexican teams. Let's be more fair. They weren't dominant. They were very good, and they used their being good to surprise a bunch of teams. So, on short rest in small spurts, this team can ball out with the best of them. Mm-hmm. But apparently this team can also lose to the 12th best team in the Western Conference on the road. So I think all I want to know, I think the only thing I want to take away from this game is the Colorado Rapids are not good without Cole Bassett. Cole Bassett is the most important ingredient in the ball club. It doesn't work without him. That's, I think, if I was going to sum up this game into one sentence, that's the sentence. We need Cole Bassett to come back and be healthy. So, by the way, if that means give him a couple more days off to make sure that he doesn't come back too soon, Chris Armas, do it. Don't hurt Cole. We can't win MLS Cup without him.
I hear what you're saying, Mark. So I guess I will amend. If we're turning this into almost like a panic meter or like a DEFCON thing, Mark, Rabbi, I think you are acknowledging the existence of your panic button and you are aware of where it is. I have taken it out of the drawer and I have put it on my desk. I am not close to it. I do not have my hand over it. I have not pressed it yet. Now, that being said, to your point, Mark, about acknowledging the context of what the Rapids have done in the last couple of months, and as much as we've seen stinkers like this and two really bad ones recently, we've also seen fantastic performances. So I will quote tweet you on this, and I will say we've also seen every single time that this team lays a clunker or has a bad game or doesn't come out and do things really well, we have seen them respond. As much, these are the comeback kings in terms of responding and righting the wrong and responding to a bad performance or a bad result or a tough result. They did it against Toronto. They've done it in Leagues Cup after losing to Portland Timbers as well. They've done it after losing to teams like LAFC and LA Galaxy. So I'm acknowledging the existence of my panic button. It's on my desk. It's not close to where I'm working, where my papers are here. It's on the other end. It's 4 or 5 feet away, Mark, on the Jeff Lorenowitz Memorial Podcasting Kitchen Island. I will withhold any judgment or decision about whether or not to put the panic button away or to put my hand over the panic button based on what we see this week. The Colorado Rapids have a fantastic opportunity on Wednesday against LA Galaxy, and on Saturday in the final home game of the season against Seattle Sounders. And I would not be shocked, Mark. I would almost the if you told me right now, Rabbi, if you told me right now, hey, Matt, the Rapids are getting 4 points this week. I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense. I could absolutely see it happening. And then I think we put the panic button away until after decision day for me personally. I do want to bring up one other thought that I had, Mark, or one other thought that I saw. A friend of the show, View of the Couch, longtime Rapids fan, Jason Maxwell, has on a few different platforms kind of brought out the fatigue component, Mark, and how we haven't seen maybe squad rotation at the critical positions or critical players as we've seen. So Cole Bassett has gotten some rest. But so here's Jason's comment that we've seen. So I'll read this out. Credit to Jason Maxwell for this thought. You want to know why we're struggling. And then he lists players and then how many minutes they've played out of what's available. So Zach Steffen is gone. 3,420 minutes of 3,420 minutes available. Steffen's played every single minute available for the first team this year. Andreas Maxu has also gotten 3,420, so he's played max. Cole Bassett's a few hundred minutes less at 3,185. Navajo, 3,123. Keegan Rosenberry just hit 3,000 minutes. He's at 3,066. Georgi Mihailovic is at 2,751, but then if you figure the fact that he missed out time for the Olympics, but then played 252 minutes in the Olympics, he's now over the 3,000 minute threshold between Olympics and Rapids first team. And then Sam Vines also is at 2,642. Maxwell goes on to say, half of our starting lineup has already played over 2,600 minutes this season. Most of that compressed in the last 3.5 months. 28 of our 38 games have come since Memorial Day weekend, 26 by the end of the week. That's an average of a game. That's an average of a game a little over every 5 days, so less than 1 week. The lack of depth is what's killing us and why it is such a big mistake to not get anyone in the summer window, end quote. So I do think there is something to be said about the fatigue, Mark. I do think we've seen where the Rapids have kind of had a collapse on that. I think the one amendment that we have to that, we're obviously in the middle of the final three-game week of the MLS regular season. The Rapids will then have a week after decision day. And, Mark, I think they've officially clinched. The Rapids will not be a wild card team, so they're not going to play in that 8-9 game, which will probably be midweek after decision day as well. So the Rapids are going to have a full week of rest then going into the playoffs. By that time, we could see Kevin Cabral return to the lineup. Hopefully, Sam Vines and Cole Bassett are back and fully training and available for selection as well. And then at that point, yes, you're playing playoff games, but also everybody has the exact same schedule. So if you're fatigued or you're playing on short rest, it's because your opponent has also done that, likely give or take a day, depending on the TV schedule. But yeah, it's something that I'm concerned about. It's why the panic button is out, but the panic button is also on the other side of my kitchen island. Mark, anything else that we want to say about the Minnesota game, or shall we move on to the Los Angeles Galaxy?
Let's go.
Listeners, this coming Wednesday at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, the Colorado Rapids will be taking on LA Galaxy. The reverse fixture of this was not fun for the Pids leading up to the final game of the Rocky Mountain Cup, but that was with some squad rotation. That was the game in which one Kevin Cabral was injured with that elbow injury at halftime. So we are sitting now, Mark, the LA Galaxy sit top of the Western Conference. They are on 58 points on 31 games played. They have a LAFC does have a game in hand on them, but LA Galaxy are up 6 points on that. The G's have a record of 17-7-7, so sevens are wild. And they've got a goal difference of plus 17. That's really damn good. But on the road this year, they are just 5-6-4. With the loss over the weekend, the Colorado Rapids have slipped to fourth in the Western Conference. They have 50 points off of 31 games played. They have a goal difference of plus 5, and they currently lead Seattle Sounders, who are on the same number of games played and same number of points. The Rapids have the first tiebreaker, which is wins. Rapids sitting 15-11-5. Seattle has 14 wins. So that final home game of the season, Mark, is a six-pointer that could determine seeding, possibly in a game against Seattle Sounders. And the Rapids this year at home are 10-2-3. Mark, Damian Calhoun of an outlet that I can't remember. I will look this up now to remember to give Damian Calhoun some credit. Damian Calhoun is a writer for the Daily Breeze and the Southern California News Group, and he covers LA Galaxy and Angel City FC, and he has reported that Marco Royce will be unavailable for selection over on Wednesday for Colorado versus LA Galaxy. So that was maybe the one big acquisition, Mark, that did not happen by the time these two teams played each other. So it's Gabriel Peck, who's scoring a bunch of goals from a winger position. They also have Lewis Paintsill, who's a wide player and really, really good. Ricky Pooj is back and doing his thing in midfield with his kind of Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan look as well. This is a team that can be had on set pieces. This is a team that, if they had an Achilles heel as a top team in the Western Conference, is what they're doing defensively. Maya Yoshida is really decent in goal. And then I can't remember the name. I think it's John McCarthy, who's been their main goalkeeper, Mark, who had that famous moment in penalties for LAFC a few years ago after Maxime Crépeau got hurt, but has mostly been a mid goalkeeper. Should be pointed out, Mark, that the LA Galaxy have not been good on the road recently. They had an absolute stinker at FC Dallas, unlike the Colorado Rapids, and they also had a stinker against St. Louis FC as well. So it is very much the LA Galaxy loves some home cooking, and if you were worried about chance creation or what things were going to look like, not having Marco Royce probably simplifies things for the Colorado Rapids. That being said, Gabriel Peck, what he's doing on the wing, regardless of which wing he's on, Mark, and which fullback he is matched up against, is not something I have a lot of confidence in. Rabbi, what say you about Wednesday against the G's?
The Galaxy are third in the league in goals scored behind two teams. Matt, can you name them?
Based on you asking the question, I'm going to say, is one of them the Colorado Rapids?
No. That no, would be too. But one is kind of obvious if you think about glorified teams that get all the press in MLS.
Inter Miami.
That's right. They're number one in the league with a nice 69 goals scored for them. The number two team in the league. So the Galaxy have 63 goals scored. The team with 64 goals might surprise you, but I'll give you a hint. It feels like they scored most of them against the Colorado Rapids.
Is it the Portland Timbers?
It would be the Portland. You're so good at this game, Matt. It is the Portland Timbers. I guess if Portland is going to beat the Rapids 4-0 every time, then of course they're going to wind up high.
Without
in the
that
league.
Sam Bynes goal, the Galaxy have more goals than them, right, Mark?
I mean, I think the amazing thing about Portland is without playing Colorado Rapids, they're just a middling team in terms of goals scored. And the other thing is they're a middling team because their defense isn't very good. The crazy thing is the team with the largest goal differential in the league right now is Columbus, and their goal differential is, I think, is plus 33, and they're like fifth in goals scored, and it's because their defense is so unbelievably dominant. So the other thing that I was going to say about LA Galaxy, you know, other than the fact that they score a lot of goals, is who gets their goals. So they have four players in double digits already. So Paintsill, Jovalich, Peck and Pooj all have double-digit goals. And Marco Royce, who we were going to talk about, I mean, those are their, you know, Paintsill, Peck, and Puig pretty much start most games. But they rested Pooj, I mixed that up because of the baseball player still. Pooj it was rested the other day for Royce. Royce is out, as Matt pointed out, and Pooj is back in. It's a team with a lot of weapons. They're really, really difficult to beat. They have Yamane and Yoshida on that back line, as Matt mentioned. They're very dominant at the diggity in Carson, which I got to attend this year. But, you know, Colorado has made Dix something of a fortress this year. So I think all bets are off, and this is a very good chance for Colorado. I think the biggest question, of course, as we mentioned in the last game, will Cole Bassett be back for the Rapids? Will there be, to Jason Maxwell's point about fatigue, will there be some squad rotation? I don't necessarily agree with Jason so much. I'm not super concerned about squad rotation. I do actually wonder whether, regardless of squad rotation, whether Keegan Rosenberry is necessarily our best right back going forward. So that, like, maybe Sebastian Anderson should get some run here for the rest of the season and they could go into the playoffs and mix and match with Rosenberry. And I also think that the idea that we talked about when Reggie Cannon was acquired, especially me and Mitch, when you were away in Africa, was when are the Rapids going to give a shot to moving Rosenberry inside alongside Max So and giving Lalas Abubakar a week off? Because I think that might be their strongest back line. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of questions here with the rapids of, you know, that we mentioned in the last segment, which was like, is this team having a couple hiccups on the road, or are we reaching some fatigue related end of season struggles against good teams?
So I don't know that you and I have discussed this specifically, Mark, but so I will say, long term, I don't mind that. In spurts where I think it makes sense from a rest standpoint or tactically, I can see the argument behind that. I do not think this game on Wednesday is the week to do that, given how Sebastian Anderson struggled against the Galaxy in this reverse fixture back in July. If you want to argue then that it's maybe Keegan at the fullback position on Wednesday, and then maybe Keegan slides inside so that they're good on the ball against a Seattle Sounders, and then you let Sebi run hog wild against Nuhutolo for Seattle Sounders on Saturday. I don't know that I would do that necessarily if I was Chris Armas. I think there is a world in which that makes sense, and I could be talked into that being a good idea tactically. But I don't think that you do that on Wednesday. Mark, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I do think we see a bounce back performance from the Colorado Rapids. I think we see a close win, and a win in which it was probably a tight game, but maybe the Rapids get a really big chance that warrants them scoring to win this one. So I will say that they win this game by a score of 3-2. I don't think that the Galaxy are very good on the road. I do think we'll see some good stuff going on set piece-wise for the Colorado Rapids. I think it's been a minute, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, since the Rapids have scored on a corner. Maybe there was something I don't remember from the Portland game. I don't think so. So I think we see a bounce-back performance from the Rapids. I think we see a renewed level of intensity for them. And I think combining with not having Marco Royce to maybe be that one final piece from a midfield standpoint for LA Galaxy is going to be a problem for them. The Galaxy have struggled on the road. And I don't know if you remember, Mark, we could go back. I think in the entire history of this podcast, really, I think there's a very easy argument to make that the Galaxy struggle at altitude. The Galaxy don't like coming there and they have a rough time with it, especially when a Rapids team is bringing the energy, taking it to them, and really showing a level of intensity and attention to detail. This is a team that absolutely can be had at the Richard on Wednesday. So I think the Rapids win. I think it's a close game, but I think it's a 3-2 victory. Mark, what say you?
I think we're going to have a hard time because we've been having a hard time lately, and this is a very good team. And I think all of this kind of like road home stuff, with the Galaxy being as dominant as they have been this season, it don't matter. They're coming into games looking to slay, and they're going to slay Queen. Slay. So I'm calling this one 3-1 for the Galaxy. They can't really be stopped right now, and our defense isn't really stopping things right now, including Zach Steffen. He did have a couple of good games, especially during the tournament, but he seems to be turning to my mind, maybe from, I was gonna say, from, he's turning from a prince rack to a frog, but I do think that with Zach, it feels like it's games. It's like one game frog, two games prince, two games frog, one game prince. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But I think the Galaxy, best team in the West. It's not a hard call for me to say they're going to win this 1-3-1.
What's going to be the problem for you, Mark, defensively? Like, is this going to be, is Peck just absolutely going to skin one of these, one of the Rapids fullbacks? Is maybe Cole Bassett's unavailable again, so then Ricky Pooj does what he wants to do in the midfield? What's the problem? What are you looking for that's going to be a signal as to whether or not the Rapids are able to run with the G's on Wednesday?
I don't fully understand. So this is like a global kind of idea, but I don't fully understand the role of the two defensive backs in the 4-2-3-1 that the Colorado Rapids have been running this year. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that they're doing it wrong or they're doing it badly, but that like there are games where it feels like one is kind of the deep liar and the other one is kind of the connector. And then there are games where neither of them seems to be doing enough of the hard work of defending. And so that kind of ultimately falls to the backline defense. And I think when teams get very good at opening up the Rapids by going wide, or they go over the top very well, and the defensive midfielders aren't quite locking it down very well, or when they're bypassed effectively, then you've pretty much unlocked our defense and you've put us in a bad place. And I think a smart manager like Greg Vanney, a smart team like LA Galaxy can do this to us. So, you know, I watched them at home. Who were they playing? They played Dallas. They played Dallas when I was there. And I just watched them take them apart. I mean, it just took time for them to kind of find the spots. And then they were just like, oh, I know how to break this. And it was kind of like, you know, getting through on the higher levels of Super Nintendo Punch-Out, where you're like, you don't know how to beat Doc Flamenco. And then eventually you figure out his pattern and you pummel the ever-living crap out of him and it's all over. And then you move past that level and you never worry about it again. That's what it was like watching the Galaxy. They take a while to figure out how to unlock a team and then they just keep doing it. They just keep unlocking them. I think they're going to do it to the Rapids.
I'll agree with you, Mark, or at least this could be a fun thesis statement for us to look back in retrospect on the season at the end of the year. But there's been too many times in which defensively Keegan Rosenberry's on an island or he's left as the last man to kind of defend. And I don't think that is the plan. I think even when that's been moments where Keegan's been absolutely dunked on in some of those plays, the games against Portland come to mind for me, certainly. I think like something else failed. Somebody didn't do their job to where that was the matchup and that was the situation. And I mean, to your point as well, Mark, I think that Sam Vines maybe doesn't fit in perfectly tactically with what Chris Armas wants from his fullbacks, or at least it's not a perfect fit. It's not like Sam Vines' first half of 2021, the Vines back position as well. And so we'll see what happens if things are changing because Reggie Cannon's a slightly different player. But yeah, to your point, Mark, it seems to be that the plan defensively is to shuttle people to the fullbacks, or that's the battle that the Rapids are willing to fight or willing to force on their own terms, and it hasn't always been successful, and maybe it's something that they've been iteratively looking at, but it's a point of a question at a point where I don't know that that's fully fleshed out and everybody's confident on the phases of play or what they're supposed to be doing or the situations behind that. I would say that when Cole Bassett and Ollie Larraz are playing together in the double pivot, they are very confident in what they're supposed to be doing. After about the first 10 games, Georgi Mihailovic had a very good understanding of what he needed to be and how to click and what he was doing. I could say maybe 12 to 15 games if we're talking about Rafael Navajo reaching that. And when it's been stable in terms of who the wingers are, mainly Calvin Harris on the right, Kevin Cabral, it's been there as well. The chopping and changing of the personnel and the up and down nature of some of the periods of results call into question that game planning or what the team is working through or the progress that they're trying to make in that regard. And certainly a game in which your fullbacks absolutely get skinned by the opposition when that's been a point of emphasis in the past gives us both cause to pause. Mark, let's move on to the Saturday, the final home regular season game for the Colorado Rapids in the 2024 season. They will be hosting Seattle Sounders on Saturday, October 5th. Final game at Dick's Sporting Goods Park in the regular season. We already talked about where the Rapids were, Mark. Seattle Sounders sitting one spot below the Rapids. They are in fifth in the Western Conference. Same number of points, 50. Same number of games played, 31. The Rapids have one more win and three fewer draws. So Seattle has a record of 14-9-8. They have a goal difference of plus 12. And away from the clink this season, Rave Green are 6-7-3. Seattle Sounders, Mark, bit of a different roster situation to what we would have known this reverse fixture. God, was that in March, Mark? When was that 1-1 draw? I can't remember what month. It was a long time ago. But so in any case, listeners, maybe the one big change or the one big thing to note here is that Pedro de la Vega, who was their big offseason acquisition to play kind of on the wing, doing some number 10 stuff alongside Albert Rusnak. He was hurt, I believe, for that game against the Rapids. He has not been healthy much of this season at all. He was back and he played and started in a 1-0 victory over Houston on the weekend. And then with some injuries as well, Mark, to the Peruvian Raury Diaz, it has been Jordan Morris, Stanford Messi, who's been playing up top in the false nine position, a position that he's capable of, although he's mostly historically been a winger for the Seattle Sounders. And then it's kind of been a platoon situation at the other winger position. So Seattle coming out mostly in a 4-2-3-1. Pedro de la Vega on the wing, former RSL number 10 Albert Rusnak in the middle, Jordan Morris up top, and then it was Rothrock, the homegrown, who actually got the goal against Houston, who was starting on the left position. It's Christian Rolzon and Omar Vega in the middle as well. And the defense mark is continuing to be led by Stefan Fry, who's in goal. Alex Roldan has been the winger on the right side, pairing up with his older brother, younger brother. They're related. I don't think Alex and Christian are twins. Nuhu Tolo, the chaos left back, is on the left as well. And increasingly, Mark, I've been impressed with what Jackson Reagan has done at center back over former nominee for Defender of the Year, Yeimar Gomez Andrade, for Seattle Sounders. Mark, this is a Sounders team that is still capable of being really good. This is a Sounders team that had some summer doldrums and had some issues with injuries as well. But I am counting their last 1, 2, 3, 4. They have been unbeaten in their last four games. They got a 4-0 victory over a hungover Columbus Crew team after League Cup. Then they beat Sporting Kansas City 2-0. They got a 2-2 draw against San Jose. Not that great, but an impressive home win over Houston Dynamo. Mark, this is not your grandfather's Seattle Sounders in terms of them being at the top of the Western Conference, them being a favorite to win MLS Cup, but this is a Sounders team that knows that the most important thing that they can do is play well in September or October to ultimately be good for MLS Cup. So this is a Sounders team that maybe is rounding into form. This is a Sounders team that sees an opportunity to jump the Colorado Rapids, possibly cement in an opportunity for them to have home field advantage in that round of three, possibly against the Rapids. And Mark, until the Sounders are full rebuild and they fire Brian Smetzer, this is still a team that I'm going to fear, I'm going to respect, and I will not declare the Seattle Sounders dead and needing to properly rebuild until we've already seen it gotten started. And very much, this is a Rave Green side that is alive and well. Mark, what do you see in Seattle? And is this team making you poop your pants more than the LA Galaxy?
No, they are not.
Okay.
they're a simpler team than the Galaxy, which is that the Galaxy have three players who are impossible to stop. They've got Peck, they've got Pooj, and they've got Painsel. With Seattle, they seem to only be able to have one player per game who needs to be stopped. If you can stop Jordan Morris or Albert Rusnak or Raul Ruiz Diaz, whoever is on that game, then you can win. And that's pretty much that's my take on Seattle. And I watched them a little bit on their when I'm, you know, waiting for the Rapids to tune up if they're playing an East Coast Conference team or if they're the late game and I have an extra hour to stay awake. Their biggest challenge this year is that they don't score. They have in the table, they have 46 goals scored to Colorado's 58. That puts them pretty near the bottom of the Western Conference in terms of goals scored. The only two teams in the Western Conference who have fewer goals scored than them are Houston, who defend at about the same clip, and Austin, who cannot score goals to save their life. And San Jose, who are the worst team in the league. And they drew San Jose 2-2 the other day in this four-game stretch, as you were talking about. So that's my book on them. I think they waited a little bit longer than they should, or maybe they just didn't have the money and it was a realistic, reasonable decision that they're starting to see the backside of Raul Ruiz Diaz. They're seeing the backside of Albert Rusnak, and they're even seeing, arguably, the backside of Jordan Morris, although that's not that arguable. Morris was a U.S. men's national team player a couple of years ago, and now we don't even talk about him as a possibility for the USMNT. Maybe it's because he's not young and promising anymore, and he's a known quantity, or maybe it's that his best asset used to be speed, and he's lost a step. He's still a very dangerous player. So is Rusnak. So is Ruiz Diaz, but if you could stop them, you can win this game. So I think the Rapids get this win. I think it's another one where they're at home. They like to play at home. It's a Saturday game. I think they play better in front of Saturday crowds. I give this one to Colorado 2-0. Matt, your thoughts?
I agree with you, Mark, that this is a simplified version of what Seattle's doing, at least tactically. Gone are the days of the Siggy Schmidt amoeba midfield, certainly. Seattle's more predictable in that regard, and I think they've simplified due to what's happened to them this season, some of the injuries. I do think Pedro de la Vega is a player to take seriously. But to your point, Mark, like the two big things you got to worry about with Jordan Morris are his speed up the channel and then certainly what he would try to do in the air. I think Andreas Maxu can absolutely, I'd say, both Rapid center backs, if we're assuming that it's going to be Lawless and Andres, are able to max him match him physically, and if the rest defense is in a good position, then I think the Rapids are okay defensively. And then as long as as long as Lawless has at least a two-step lead or a two-step head start on Jordan Morris, I think they can deal with their speed. I don't particularly rate Vargas anymore, Mark. I think he's over the hill, or at least he's on the older side as well. I believe he was the player who got that second yellow in this reverse fixture as well. But in any case, this is a Sounders midfield that can be had, Mark. And I could go back a decade, even maybe 15 years, if we're talking about like Brad Evans and who is that other midfielder they had who helped them win cup? I can't remember. Nicolò Daro, albeit more as an attacking player. But Galaxy, my concern is individual 1v1 matchups in a wide position, given that's the priority for what Greg Vanney wants to do attacking-wise, and that was an issue that the Rapids had against the LA Galaxy. How did the Rapids have success, both when it was 11v11 and 10v11 against Seattle Sounders last time? It was they were bossing the midfield. If they're able to control the ball, if they're able to have good spacing, play out of situations, and cover ground, then I think the Rapids are going to be okay. So if Cole Bassett's back for Saturday, Mark, I have so much more confidence in the Seattle game than I do in than the game on Wednesday. I'll take a 1-1 draw in this one. I think the Rapids are going to expend a lot of energy against LA Galaxy in this one, and I do think we have not seen the end of the Sounders standpoint from a mentality standpoint, and I think they know that if they miss the playoffs or if they're one and done, that this might be the end for Brian Smetzer, or at the very least the start of a proper rebuild under new leadership now that Garth Lagerwey is with Atlanta United. So I think the Sounders team is aware of that, and they want one last hurrah. Unlike the Galaxy, Mark, I feel like normally Seattle comes here and, you know, gives a game of it. I think it was that game in 2021 on the 4th of July where the Rapids probably could have won that game 3-4-0, but Stephen Fry absolutely stood on his head. We saw the Rapids have a frustrating result against Seattle when Jackson Rabin had that little like elbow to Mark Anthony Kay, and Kay had to come out at halftime with a black eye, or I think it was at least swollen as well. So I feel like the Sounders can come to Dick's Sporting Goods Park and elevate themselves, or at the very least survive games in which the Rapids outplay them. And if the Rapids outplay the LA Galaxy, whether it's Steven Gerrard, Robbie Keane, Landon Donovan, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, one of the Dos Santos brothers, the Rapids are able to get the results. So I got 4 points for the Rapids this one: win against Galaxy, draw against Seattle. Mark, anything else we want to say, or shall we land this plane?
I love it when we land this plane before midnight in the Eastern Conference.
Hey, we're going to do it at 10:30 for you, Rabbi.
It's beautiful.
Us. Yeah. Listeners, you can follow us individually on Twitter, on X, at @soccer_rabbi, at @LWSMattPollard, and at @Rapids96Podcast. Email us at Rapids96Podcast@gmail.com. Send us your questions using the hashtag AskHTHL on Twitter, on Facebook. We're semi-active on Blue Sky, maybe. We don't check that very often, so you might have to tag us. In any case, check us out on there. Check out our Substack, holdingthehighline.substack.com. That's where you will find Backpass, Mark's recurring series on the Colorado Rapids. That's also where you can support us financially. Mark, do we still have, are there random shirts? Is there random merch if people want merch?
There are. If you send us an email, we'll hook you up with a t-shirt. You got to pay for it, of course. The best things in life are for a donation. But we would be happy to send you a shirt.
Okay. And then you can also check out my writing from a Rapid standpoint at burgundywave.com. I promise I will actually have time now post USL Jägermeister Cup to actually get to my feature on Michael Edwards, which will be out before the game against Seattle Sounders. Mark, on that note, happy retirement, Chuck Nasty. Listeners, we'll see you next week.
Tonight, peace.